Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our monthly Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh here with the Boca Raton Synagogue Midrashah. I thank Rabbi Shabtai very much for inviting me to present this monthly shir, and I thank all of you for joining to be enhanced and inspired by Divrei Torah. So it is the month of Sivan, yesterday being Rosh Chodesh, a Chodesh Tov again, a Chodesh to all. And of course, we are going to talk Me'inyanei Diyoma. It is, we are rapidly approaching Zman Matan Torasenu, Chag HaShavuos, only a few days left of Sfiras Omer. So I would like to talk about lessons from Matan Torah. Specifically, we're going to be looking at the beginning of Perek Yotes in Sefer Shemos. I'm going to be screen sharing with you. Perek Chof is the Aser Sadebos in Sefer Shemos. Perek Hei in Ve'aschanan is when Moshe repeats the Aser Sadebos in the Book of Devarim, Mishnah Torah. And before the Aser Sadebos are given, there are already lessons to be learned from the introduction to Matan Torah. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing there. I just want to make sure my recorder is working. Yeah, I'm going to begin by screen sharing, and we are going to go to Parshas Yisro. I prepared it right here. Okay, could you see that this says Shmos Yotes? Yes, thank you so much. This is an extremely very beautiful and moving passage in the book of Shmos. It is the introduction to Matan Torah. So Perek Yotes is the whole preparation for Aseret HaDibros, and Perek Chof begins what we translate as the Ten Commandments, even though if you think about it, it's not really correct. It's not Aseret HaMitzvos, it's Aseret HaDibros, the Ten Declarations or the Ten Statements. But we are going to be starting here. B'chodesh HaShlishi, that says B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim, so in the third month, from when the children of Israel left Egypt, so the third month being the month we ushered in yesterday, because the Torah counts the months from Nisan. Nisan is first, Iyar, Parshas Bamidbar, Iyar is second, Sivan is third. So in the third month from when the children of Israel left Egypt, Bayom Hazeh, Bamidbar Sinai. On this day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. And if you could see on this side of the screen, Rashi says, Bayom Hazeh, which day did they come to Midbar Sinai, the wilderness of Sinai, B'Rosh Chodesh, on Rosh Chodesh. So yesterday was the anniversary of our arrival many millennia ago, over 3,000 years ago, and the wilderness of Sinai. And then Rashi quotes the Gemara, Lo hayat tzarich lichtov ela bayom ahu. Why does it say bayom hazeh b'midbar Sinai? On this day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. It's talking about a story that happened a long time ago. It should say bayom ahu, ma bayom hazeh. They came on that day, many thousands of years ago. Why does it say they came on this day, zeh being this? Because the words of Torah should be new to you like they were given that day. So it shouldn't be something antiquated. Excuse me, it shouldn't be something old. It should be something new and exciting to you every single day. On this day, I came to Midbar Sinai where I received the Torah. On this day, the Torah is new. You know, when something is new and exciting, my tichel is new. When you have something new, it's very exciting. I actually wear the same one 2 days in a row because I really like it. But after a little while, they're still all beautiful, but it loses the newness. It loses the excitement. So Torah should always be new and Torah should always be exciting. They came on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, okay? Vayisu Mirfidim, and they journeyed from Mirfidim. Vayavo Midbar Sinai, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. Vayachanu Bamidbar, they encamped in the desert. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Har, and Israel camped there opposite the mountain. So Rashi tells us, very famous, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Ki Ish Echad Belev Echad. Why does it say Lashon Yachid, Vayichan? Which is, and he camped in the Lashon Yachid. Vav is and, Yud is he, Ches Nun is encamped. So we're talking about a lot of people. And this week's Parsha, which is Parshas Bamidbar, which always must be read before Shavuos for many different, very interesting reasons, we have a count of the men, and the men alone between the ages of 20 to 60 are 600,000 Yotzei Letzava, all the Levim, all the women, all the seniors, all the youths under the age of 20. There are so many people, so how could you say 2.5 million people is Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Har? So it's a very famous Rashi. Kish echad b'lev echad. They camped like one man with one heart. Aval, the second half of Rashi is less famous and less positive. Sha'ar kol hachanios, all the other encampments, besar omos uva machlokas, or with quarrel and strife. So the other encampments, and Sefer Bamidbar is an example of that, so many rebellions, so many problems, but this encampment from Matan Torah, like one man with one heart. Umosha Allah el halokim, and Moshe sent it to God, vayikra elav Hashem minahar, Hashem called him from the mountain, lay morning, said, Kosomer le Beis Yaakov, v'sageid le Bnei Yisrael. So you should tell the Beit Yaakov, the house of Yaakov, and so you should tell the Bnei Yisrael, If you see Rashi on this side of the screen, which day did Moshe go up? Bayam Hasheni. So on the first day, so we're just looking at right now the Pesukim with Rashi. On the first day of Sivan, Rosh Chodesh, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. On the second day, says Rashi, Bayam Hasheni, Moshe went up in the morning. What does it mean? Kosomer, so you shall say, Beloshon Azev V'chaseder. You should tell them, Moshe, exactly like I'm telling you, the language I'm using and the order that I'm telling you. So you, Moshe, are going to be the conduit for transmitting the Torah, but the Torah is MS because it comes from Hashem. You'll transmit it the way I say it, says God, and in the order I say it. There, another very famous Rashi, LeBeis Yaakov, Elu HaNashim. These are the women. Tomar Lahen B'loshon Raku. You should tell the woman in a gentle language. So it's a very famous, could be a topic of tonight's shir, but it's not. Kosomar LeBeis Yaakov. Why did the woman get the Torah first? V'tageid LeBnei Yisrael. You should tell the Bnei Yisrael. These are the males, and you should speak to them more harshly. The punishments and words as harsh as sinews. Atem Re'isim Asher Sisi LeMitzrayim. So what should Moshe say to the Bnei Yisrael? What's introduction to Matan Torah? You have seen what I did to Egypt. V'asa Eschem al Kanfei Nesharim. I carried you on the wings of Nesharim. V'avi Eschem Elai. And they brought you to me. And Rashi says, Atem Risim, you saw, lo Mesoris hi biyadcham. It's not you got a Mesora from your father, from his father, from his father, from his father, ad sof ha-koldos. You saw with your own eyes. How could you deny something you are seeing with your own eyes? It's impossible. You saw what I did to Egypt. It's not witnesses who told you. It's not hearsay. It's not third degree removed from the event. You saw it by yourself. Furthermore, what is the Al-Kanfei Nesharim? Very famous Rashi. Other birds carry their babies under them in their talons to protect them from birds that swoop down from above. But the Nesher is such a majestic, a mighty bird. He's only afraid of the arrows of a human being. So he puts his babies above his wings, not in his talons underneath. As he wants to protect his babies from the arrows of humans. He says, better the arrows should enter into me than into my babies. So to a Kodesh Baruch who said, better the arrows should enter into me than into my children. And therefore by Kriyas Yamsuf and Perik Yod Dalet, the Egyptians and the Israelites are separated by the clouds of glory, and the weapons and the armaments of the Egyptians enter the clouds of glory. Hashem carries us majestically on his wings, Kaviyachal, to save us from the enemy. And now if you will listen to my voice, and you will guard my covenant, you will be to me more treasured and precious than all the nations, because the whole earth is mine. But it begins with the word ata and ve'ata, and now with an I and why? Such an important Rashi. Rashi says, "Im ata tekablu aleichem." If you accept Torah upon yourselves now, Yarav lechem mikan ve'elech. Yarav means not only to guarantee all of Israel guarantors for one another, but it also means all of Israel should be nice for one another. Okay, arevus is to be nice as well. Va'arva l'Hashem minchas yudu v'shalayim kimei olam v'chshanim kadmodios. The very last line of the Yihiratzon. The end of Shemona Esrei, Ayin Reish Beis means to be guarantors, but also means to be pleasant. If you accept the Torah upon yourself now, Yerav Lechem Mikan Ve'elech, it will be pleasing from you from here on. Shekol Haschalos Kashos. Beginnings are hard. Beginnings of relationships are hard. Beginning of parenthood is hard. Beginning of diet is hard. Beginning of a new learning program is hard. New driver, the beginning is hard. Beginnings are always hard. So Hashem is not saying that the Torah is easy. Imbuchu Kosai Tim Teilechu. To you, amelin b'Torah. It's ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. You have to work very hard. You have to be amelin Torah. But if you accept upon yourself to follow a path of Torah, it will become so pleasant. It will become so beautiful. This is very reminiscent of Rabbi Akiva, who is synonymous with Sfiras HaOmer. We know the famous narrative of Chazal that he didn't start learning. He was an Am Haaretz till he was 40. The Gemara says that. I think it's in Ksubos. I have the notes downstairs. The Gemara says that he was an Am Haaretz till he was 40 years old. And when he started to learn, it was so hard for him that he wanted to give up. And he saw the water dripping onto a rock. And he said, if water could pierce the rock, Torah could pierce my heart. Kol haschalos kashos. It's a law of this world. It's a truism of life. The beginning of anything is hard. Hashem is not saying that Torah is going to be a walk in the park. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard work. But if you stick with it, it will be so beautiful here on earth. I was just listening this morning. Rabbi Zavlev was not talking about this pasuk. But just this morning on my fast talk, I was listening to a shir by Rabbi Zev Lef Shlita of Moshav Matityahu, and he was talking about this idea of segula. And he says, instead of being an Am segula, like Hashem said, we have become an Am of segulos. Instead of being an Am segula, we have become an Am of segulos. people, he said, today don't want to toil anymore. We don't want to work. We don't want the kasha part. We only want the yarav lachem part. We want the pleasant but not the hard work. And he says, who says Torah is going to be easy? Hashem doesn't say it's going to be easy. Hashem says you have to be amel in Torah. You have to be ivdu as Hashem. That means you have to work hard. He says, today we want everything fast. We want quick. We want instantaneous results. I've actually heard him say this before. He said it again on the shiur I listened to today. I heard him say it a few years ago. He spoke about the tefillah Shlach Kodesh. There's a tefillah of the Shlach that is passed around. I don't know if it's Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. I think you're supposed to say it Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. But he says it's a very long tefillah, and people don't want to necessarily work Shabbos, so they pass around this tefillah. And he says a few years ago, it came to my attention, it's being passed around on all the chats and all the emails and all the groups, say this tefillah, say this tefillah. So Rabbi Zablov said, if you think you could say a tefillah for children once a year, and your children are going to turn out the way you're davening for, but you're not going to work at all, it's not going to happen. He said the tefillah is like the icing on a cake. He said a skula is an icing on cake. If you have the cake and you ice it, so it's very nice, but if you have a big bowl of icing, it's going to be nauseating. You can't just eat the icing. You need the cake. That's all the avoda. And then you could have the icing on top of the cake. So he said, if anyone thinks they're going to say this tefillah and you don't work and you don't daven and you don't cry and once a year you're going to daven for your children, so it's not going to work. Why not? Because avodas Hashem is hard work. He says the next year was even worse. He saw an advertisement that said, they put an advertisement that said, people, it's such a long tefillah. It's so hard for people to say such a long tefillah. If you send us $18, this is what the advertisement said, send us $18, we will daven for your children and you will have wonderful children. Rabbi Zablov says, we have become, instead of being the Am Segula, we have become an Am Av Segulos. We want everything fast. We want everything quick. We don't want to toil. That is not the reality of Torah. That's not what Torah is like. Yarav lechem mikan ve'elech. If you accept it upon yourself now, it'll be pleasant. But call haschalos kashos. You have to know that it is difficult in the beginning. And the reality is that avodas Hashem very often can be difficult going forward. It doesn't mean it's not rewarding. It doesn't mean it's not enlightening. It doesn't mean it's not inspiring. But you have to toil. Then all the brachas will come. What does it mean? You all know. It means to your maiden b'torah. You got to work hard at Torah. So he said, we cannot be an am av segula. Or segulos, I should say. We have to be an am segula. And it's very, very important. It's something to think about, especially in this day and age. And to me, too. I'm constantly ordering from Amazon. Like, if I need the smallest thing, you know, I don't know, Neutrogena hand cream, I'll just go onto Amazon. Why should I make a trip to the store? If I could just click, click, click from my computer, when do we expect it? Right now. If it's not here in 2 days, they're like, where's the package? When is it coming? Avodas Hashem and Yahadus does not work like that. In order to be an Eved Hashem, the word Eved itself means to labor and to toil. You have to know it's hard. Call haschalos kashos. But yarav lechem mikan ve'elech. The more you become an Eved Hashem, the more you work on your relationship with God, the more pleasant it will be for you. Going back to the screen share, Tammy, thank you so much. Really, it was a great idea. Thank you. Mamish, thank you. Okay, could you see I went back to the screen? Yes, okay, thank you. So that was all in Pasuk Hey, okay? Va'atim tiyuli mamlachas koni v'goy kadosh, ela hadvarim asher tadabrel b'nei Yisrael. You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you should speak to b'nei Yisrael. Just as an aside, something interesting whenever I see this Pasuk, Rav Salvechik would not say shalo asani goy. He said shalo asani nochri. Why? Because we are called multiple times in the Torah, Mikam Chayshol Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Mamechas Kodim V'Goy Kadosh. How could we say? By the way, I didn't change my nusach. You should not change your nusach. I'm just telling you something interesting as a point of interest. The Rav would say Shaloh Asani Nachri, because how could you say Shaloh Asani Goy when multiple times through Tanakh Am Yisrael is referred to as a Goy? And interestingly, I said that a number of years ago, and there were two women who came from a Yakisha background, and one of them sent me a copy of her Siddur Insight, and they actually say Shaloh Asani Nachri, not Shaloh Asani Goy. So I thought that was also very, very interesting. So I want to talk about this inyan right here, Pasuk Beis, Vayisu Mirfidim, Vayavo Midbar Sinai. The whole thing is in Lashon Rabim, plural, Vayisu Mirfidim. They journeyed from Rafidim. Vayavo'u Midbar Sinai. They came to the wilderness of Sinai. Vayachanu b'midbar. It's all Lashon Rabim. They camped in the desert. Vayichan sham Nisrael negadar. All of a sudden, we have an abrupt switch to Lashon Yachid, and he camped, and Israel camped there opposite the mountain, referring to one. That doesn't make sense. So Rashi says, Ki ish echad b'lev echad. They were like one man with one heart. I'm going to begin by quoting Rav Yaakov Bender Shlita, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Darchei Torah. And I'm quoting from his sefer called Rav Yaakov Bender on Chumash. And he has a very important and very beautiful pshat into this teaching of Chazal. At the time of Matan Torah, they were like one man with one heart. So we think that's very beautiful. And in fact, it is very beautiful. It's very beautiful to have achdus. Achdus is from the word echad. Ki ish echad, belev echad. That echad, that oneness, leads to achdut, achdus, unity amongst kaisha. When we have unity amongst kaisha, we're able to say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Akeinu Hashem, echad. We can all accept God as one when we are one with each other. Furthermore, we know the Zohar tells us, Yisrael, Oraisa, Kedisha, Brichu, Chadhu. Yisrael, the Am Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael, Oraisa, the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are one. So, Ki'ish Echad, Belev Echad, a prerequisite for Matan Torah, apparently was the sense of Achdus. But Rabbi Yaakov Bender Shlita has a very unique pshat on this pasuk, and he puts a different spin on it. Rashi states, says Rav Bender, as if they were one single person with one heart. The Mefarshei Rashi explained, the commenters, there are so many super commentators on Rashi, that the diuk is from the fact that Klal Yisrael referred to with the use of plurals in the preceding words. Vayisu, vayavou, vayachanu, but all of a sudden, vayichan, and he camped, one person, like one person. The question is, why the Torah listen to this geshmak var? It's different than all the other vards who say we have to have unity, which, by the way, I am not negating. We do have to have unity. And unfortunately, it's something that seems to elude our people. I think that that's one of the most famous teachings of the Talmud Yerushalmi. Okay? So I am not negating the word that we must have unity amongst all different factions of Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Bender puts a different spin. The question is, why the Torah reveals this unity specifically here as they stood at Har Sinai? Quote, were they not united on the shores of Yam Suf? What happened on the shores of Yam Suf? The Egyptians are here. The sea is over here. Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem. Why do they scream out? Bli ein kvarim b'mitzrayim l'kachtanu l'mus b'midbar? Are there not enough graves? In Egypt, you had to take us out to die in the desert. There's no possible solution here. We can't fly. We're not birds. They had no idea the sea was going to split. The Egyptians, our tormentors, are there. Yesterday, he was with me with the whip. Not really yesterday. We left 7 days ago. And there's the churning water. I mean, you know, we're so used to the story. Once a week, I lecture in Atlantic Beach, just this afternoon, actually. Imagine you're standing on the shore of the sea, and it's a really stormy day, and there are these huge waves, and there are horses thundering and Egyptians whipping them into a frenzy. It's terrifying. Were they not united as they stood at the shores of Yam Suf, watching their oppressors flounder and die? In other words, Rashi's godless is not just that he teaches us lessons. There are so many super commentaries on Rashi because it's something I say often. A second creator could learn Rashi, a lay person could learn Rashi, a Gadol Hador could learn Rashi, and each one will understand something else. Rashi is not just commenting. There are many sodos. There are deeper levels. There's drash on the pshat of Rashi. Why does Rashi choose here to tell us were they not joined together on that glorious day of Yitzias Mitzrayim when they walked out of Mitzrayim once and for all? What about in their throes of pain as the Mitzri cracked a whip above their tired backs? Vayavidu Mitzrayim b'nei Yisrael b'farach. The Egyptians were Klal Yisrael b'farach with back-breaking labor. B'chol avoda asher avdu b'hem b'farach. B'chomer u'bilaveinim, bricks, mortar, all the work in the field. Kol abena yilad hayar tashlichu, throwing the babies into the river. Shmos 1:22. Were they not then united? Could they not understand and empathize and feel deeply with one another? Why does Rashi wait specifically to Matan Torah? Well, I should say Erev Matan Torah, okay, the prelude to Matan Torah, to tell me that they are united? Quote, Rav Kalman Epstein, writes Rav Yaakov Bender, once shared a powerful thought with me. He said, quote, it's so sad. It's a sad comment on our nature, on human nature. It is easy to feel connected and identify with one another at times of distress and pain. When we are all victims, we share misery with one another. In good times, when there is no pressure, that is when unity is a real accomplishment. This is why the Torah teaches us the lesson here. Dafka at the best of times, the peak of our national history. The whole purpose of leaving Egypt is, Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, the burning bush, Ta'avdun es Elokim al harazeh. Moshe says, where are we going? You came to me at the burning bush. Where are we going? So first Hashem says, you're going to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz of Achal with Vash. But he says, Ta'avdun et Elokim al harazeh. Actually, Rabbi Zavlev said in a totally different shir, Ta'avdun ends with a nun sofis. You could just say, Ta'avodu es Elokim al harazeh. Why do you need the nun sofis? Rabbi Zavlev said something very interesting, also related to Matan Torah. That nun is an allusion to 50. Gematria of nun is 50. It should just say ta'avodu as elokim al harazeh. What is the ta'avodun, final nun, under nun? Nun in gematria is 50. It was an allusion to Moshe that 50 days after Yetzias Mitzrayim, we know what happens on the 50th day. That's Ma'amad Tantara Seder. You camp for 49 days. On the 50th day, that is Kabbal Satorah. So Rabbi Zavlov said that the Jews know from the outset that the 50th day would be Ma'amad Tantara Seder. Just as an aside, the Torah teaches us here, at the peak of our national history, the most unbelievable revelation that has ever come to the world. It is the revelation that launched the nation. It is what binds us together through all times, Torah and mitzvos. The Torah wants to point out, you know what the galus of Klal Yisrael is? They were able to be like one man with one heart, even when times were good. We're coming up to the 8th Yahrzeit. In just under 2 weeks from yesterday, is the 8th Yahrzeit of the three boys. Ayal, Gilad, and Naphtali, Hashem Yikom Damam. It's hard to believe it's 8 years. I'm sure, like me, you remember it viscerally, and it was 18 days of the unknown, even though they were killed right away. And we were all united. Everybody. Jews of all stripes, all head coverings, or all not head coverings, all colored shirts. We were all united because it was a time of tzara. Rabbi Bender says that the Torah is coming to teach us that we need to learn how to unite when things are calm. When everything's good, when you're about to get a present, when the life of the nation is enriched, we don't only have to wait for an emergency, an ace tzara, the whip of the taskmaster, the babies thrown into the river, the churning sea on one side and the hateful Egyptians on the other side to say, that's my brother, I only have one brother, and that's him. You're right, we only have one brother. I marched for the first time in the Israeli Day Parade this year. I had a Hank t-shirt. One of my 10th graders is in Hank. He just started this year, Baruch Hashem, and the Hank school marches in the Israeli Day Parade. So if parents ordered and bought the t-shirts, you could march with the school. So we marched with the school. It was my first time. It was a very meaningful experience. It was very hot that day, if you remember. But it was also very special, very meaningful. And at one point on Fifth Avenue, we passed by, it wasn't so many, but we passed by a small protest of the Natura Carta. And next to the Natura Carta were the Palestinians. So the Natura Carta have their signs and the Palestinian flags on their Hasidish Lavosh. And next to them are the Palestinians, and they're wearing their kafiyas and waving their Palestinian flags. So they remind us that we're united. But we don't need the enemy to remind us that we're united. We should know we're united when everything's calm, when everything's fine, when it's wonderful. Continues Rav Bender. Haman, through his hatred and desire to destroy us, brought us to a situation of leich knos es kol hayudim hanimseim b'shushan. That's what Esther Malka said to Mordechai. What did she say to him? When he says you have to do the job, she says, fine. Leich knos es kol hayudim hanimseim b'shushan v'tzumu alai al tochu v'al tishtu shloshes yamim laila v'yam gamani v'narosai tzum kein. Who should you go call? All the Jews. This is unprecedented achdus. Through who? Haman Harasha. In fact, the Gemara says that the edict of Haman accomplished what the 48 Nevi'im and Shiva Nevi'os could not accomplish, which was uniting Klal Yisrael to Teshuvah. Says Rav Bender, sadly, this is the way it has always been. There was a survivor of the Nazi concentration camps, continues Rav Bender Shlita, who is known for his Ahavas Yisrael, his boundless, unconditional love for every sort of Jew. And his children asked him about it. And I'm not saying that you have to be like other Jews. The Mahalach is not necessarily according to the Torah. But he explained to his children that he had seen the hate for each Jewish inmate. The Nazi beasts, he said, did not differentiate between different hashkafos, different accents, different attitudes. By the way, Shavuos is the date that the Hungarian transports arrived in Auschwitz. So if the hay for Nishmas Yisrael knew no boundaries, said this man, Nishmas the soul, if the hatred for a Jewish soul knows no boundaries, why should the love for Nishmas Yisrael, the Neshama of Klal Yisrael, see any barriers? Says Reb Bender, in difficult times, we have always drawn close to one another. But the challenge is to keep this alive in good times as well. And that's what Rashi says is trying to teach you. There was no crisis. There's no emergency. It's very calm. The Egyptians are drowned. The manna is falling since chapter 16. They defeated Amalek, at least temporarily, chapter 17. Everything is fine. Yisro comes chapter 18. He says, set up courts. It's fine. It's smooth sailing. It's wonderful. Now you have Achdus. That's really Galus. And that's what the prerequisite for Matan Torah is. It's not just to have Achdus. Sure, 8 years ago when the three boys, Hashem, Yirachem, Aleinu, were missing, when I was there in Pesach, I went to a beautiful memorial, different mosaics in their memory in the Gush. So we were all united because when we have a crisis, we remember that we're all together. What about when we don't have a crisis? In difficult times, we've always drawn close to one another. The challenge, says Reb Bender, is to keep this alive in good times. A friend of mine described, he continues, being in the hospital attending to his ailing wife. During the last few moments of her life, he rarely left her bedside, and he spent Yom Kippur there as well. He davened alone for most of the day, but late in the afternoon, she fell into a very deep sleep, and he went to join the tefillos in the hospital chapel. He found the room was filled with people, shtreimels and kippot srugot, knitted kippas, black hats. He took his place in the back of the minyan, joining this band of brothers who are connected by desperation, pain, hope, and faith. In the absence of the formal hospital chaplain, one of the mispalalim asked if he might address the group before Ne'ilah. What does Rabbi Akiva say? The very last Mishnah, Maseches Yuma, tells us, Mishnah Yuma, Perek Ches Mishnah Tes, it's the last Mishnah in Al Maseches Yuma. The Mishnah tells us, Bein Adam Averos Shebein Adam Lamakom Yom Kippur Mechaper. Averos Shebein, did I say the Chavero? Averos Shebein Adam Lamakom Yom Kippur Mechaper. Averos Shebein Adam Mechavero Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper Ad Sheirat Ses Chavero. Amen, Rabbi Akiva comments in the very same Mishnah, after the teaching that tells you that Ben Adam Echaver, you must ask Teshuvah, Rabbi Akiva says, Ashreichem Yisrael, Lifnei mi atem mitaharim, umi mitahar eschem, avichem shebashamayim. Isn't it interesting that it's Rabbi Akiva who immediately after the Mishnah, last Mishnah in the entire Maseches Yuma, immediately after the Mishnah tells you, you know, Bein Adam Echavero Averos, there is no kapara on Yom Kippurim. You cannot sin against your fellow and come to Yom Kippur and think you will have atonement. Ad sheyirat says Chaver, without appeasing your friend, without asking Mechila to your friend. Oh, P.S. is Rabbi Akiva, not a different Mishnah, the exact same Mishnah. What does Rabbi Akiva say? Should I screen share for you so you could see? I don't want to take the time. So what does Rabbi Akiva say? Ashreichem Yisrael, you are so fortunate. Lifnei mi atem mitaru mi mitar ascham. It's Rabbi Akiva who adds a P.S. almost to the Mishnah's teaching. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva is synonymous with Sfiras HaOmer. Why is he synonymous with Sfiras HaOmer? Because of Maseches Yevamah, Samech Beis Amud Beis, you learn that the students of Rabbi Akiva all died. During which time period? This time period. What does the Gemara say? Pesach v'Atzeres. Mipnei shelo nahagu kavod zeh lazeh. They all died right now, during these weeks, because they didn't give honor to one another. So when the Tanaim come and they tell you, write it down in the Mishnah Yuma, after everything you learned in the previous eight prakim, we have to tell you something. You know what we have to tell you? You know what the summation is? If you sin between you and God, he will forgive you. If you repent, you are Mechalal Shabbos. You ate treif. You did the worst things you could imagine, but you did real teshuva. There are stages of teshuva. That's not for tonight's shiur. You did real teshuva. Hashem says, no problem. It's erased. Not only is it erased, Rambam says it becomes like a mitzvah. Gevaldik. That you transgress against your fellow human being. It's not so simple. How come Rabbi Akiva knew this viscerally in such a real fashion? He lived it. He knew what happened when there's no covet for your fellow human being. He knows Hashem is not quick to forgive because if your friend doesn't forgive. To be ready for Matan Torah is not to be so stark between me and my Father in heaven. Of course it is. This past year, for example, I took upon myself since last summer, Chol of Yisrael. And also, since my trip to Pesach, to my trip to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, the last day we were there, we went to see the Gedolim in Bnei Brak, and we visited Rebbetzin Weintraub. She was a very, very close friend of Rebbetzin Batsheva Kanievsky Alal Sham. She lives right around the corner from the Letterman Show, mamish around the bend from Letterman Show. Her husband was Chavrusa with Rav Chaim for 30 years. Rabbi Shai Shechter told me her husband was an Adam Gadol, irrespective of the fact that he was Chavrusa with the Maran Sar HaTorah. He said her husband, Rav Weintraub Zatzal, was a huge, huge, he said, Talmid Chacham and person in and of itself. So I was talking to the Rebbetzin, so she was asking for some etos, etc. So she told me, do you daven Shachris and Mincha? So I said, yes, of course. So she says, you should try and daven Arvis. This is not so easy for me because very often I teach twice. After I have this, I have another Shir Be'ezer Hashem. She said, it might not happen, but Hashem wants you to be close to Him. And if you're closer to Hashem, if you're an extra tefillah, it will affect everything else in your life. So since she told me that, Baruch Hashem, be in her, I have not missed a night. So that's my point. I'm not telling you how wonderful I am, because I do Chal Yisrael. And since last summer, Rabbi Shechter told me, make sure you say Bli Neder, in case you're ever in a matzah where they don't have Chal Yisrael. So I took upon myself Chal Yisrael. And so now I took upon myself Arvis. So it's very nice. I could come to Zman Maton Torah Sein and say, wow, I'm such a tzaddikas. Look what I did, Hashem, this year for you. Look what I did. We were in the airport traveling to Toronto after Purim. And my husband said, you want an iced coffee? And I said, I can't have an iced coffee. The milk here is a Chal Yisrael. So I'm such a tzaddikas. So Hashem says, wait a minute. Let me check the Bein Adam HaChavera book. It's very nice your Chav Yisrael. It's very nice your Davin with another tefillah. But how's the other part of your Avodas Hashem? That's what it means to be ready for Matan Torah. Ki ish echad belev echad vayichan sham Yisrael neged har. Not only in times of crisis, you daven for the three boys, you cried for them, you think of the terror victims, you daven every Erev Shabbos, mamish by lich benching, every Shabbos I daven for Ron Arad, Hadar Golden, Eli Cohn, Oran Sha'ul, v'shavu banam legvulam, v'shavu me'eretz oyev, minikolich mibechi. Every time I daven for them. What is your bein adam lechavero like? Not only in times of crisis, when there are MIAs being held, yimachshman bezichron, by the enemy for 8 years since Mifsa Tzok Eitan. That's a crisis, so you daven for your fellow Jew. But everything's calm. How are you then? And so the last Mishnah, I am going to screen share it with you, even though I quoted it for you. I want you to see it. And so the last Mishnah in Yuma, it won't take me long at all to show it to you, to find it for you. And so the last Mishnah in Yuma teaches you that not only, I already told you it's Per Ches Mishnah Tes, and here we are. See, that was less than 1 minute, less than 30 seconds. Ha'omer echta v'ashuv, echta v'ashuv, ein maspikim b'yadu l'sos teshuva. Okay, it's, I don't want to go through the whole thing. Even though there's a gevaldik var from a biderman on that also. Aveiro shebein adam l'makom yom kippur mechaper. Aveiro shebein adam mechaver ein yom kippur mechaper ad shiratza es chaver. I quoted this to you already. Okay, so bein adam lechaveiro, it's a prerequisite for teshuvah. It's a prerequisite for kapara. It's a prerequisite for matan Torah. It's a prerequisite for my relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Aveiro shebein adam lechaveiro ein yom kippur mechaper ad shiratza es chaver. And all of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, seemingly unrelated to the teaching in the beginning of the Mishnah, I forgot to ask you if you could see my screen. All of a sudden, thank you, Paul, all of a sudden, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael. What's Rabbi Akiva doing here? He's talking to me something totally different. The Mishnah is just telling me the final climax of all of Mishnah Yuma, the final ending of everything you just learned in this Masechta. So Rabbi Akiva says, that's right, you remember me? My students, Rabbi Akiva, was synonymous with Sfiras Omer, because his students were lacking Bein Adam HaChaveru. There's many ways to interpret the Gemara, but tonight we're just going with the Pshat. And so he's synonymous with this time period. Look what happened to my Talmidim. They didn't have covet for one another. Forget a time of emergency. It was nice. They were steiging. They woke up. They went to Kollel. But they lacked respect in quiet times. So Rabbi Akiva comes along. As soon as the Mishnah tells you that for sins by Adam Chavera, there's no kapara on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Akiva says, don't forget me. I'm a Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael. You are so fortunate. What's he doing here? He's doing everything here. He's telling you this teaching is true. You know, I know it's true because look what happened to my Talmidim. Like the Pasuk says, I will sprinkle upon you purifying waters and you will be purified. And furthermore, Rabbi Akiva quotes the Pasuk from Yahu that the hope of God, Mikveh Yisrael, Mikveh means hope and the pool of water. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, Ma Mikveh, says Rabbi Akiva, Ma Mikveh Mitahara Setmeyum. Just like a Mikveh purifies the impure, Ava Kosh Baruch Hu Mitahara Setmeyum. Kosh Baruch Hu wants to be Mitaras. Kosh Baruch Hu wants to have the connection. He wants the closeness with you. He wants to give us the Torah. There's two different aspects of Kabbalah's Torah. One is Matan Torah. What's Matan Li Natain? Matana. Someone's giving you a present. Someone comes with a present. You don't say, oh, thank you, I don't want it. You say, wow, I'm so excited. Sorry, Matanas Yecha. But if you're a regular person, you say, wow, what a beautiful present. Thank you so much. But then there's Kabbalah's Torah. Hashem wants us to be purified. Hashem wants us to be close to him. But it's contingent upon how I view my fellow Jew, feel about my fellow Jew, accept my fellow Jew, and not only in times of crisis. It's not godless to love your fellow Jew in a time of crisis. So this man goes to the shul. Don't forget, I'm really in the middle of Rabbi Bender. And he goes to this base Knesset in the hospital, in the base Cholim. He's in a base Knesset. And there's people with strimels, and people with kippah suga, and people with black hats. And he joins this group who are praying out of desperation, pain, hope, and faith. And one of them is Palalim, says, can I please address the Kehila before Ne'ila? Because there was no Rav. A slim, quiet, Hasidish man walked to the front of the room. And he said, here in the hospital, we are so, so close. We are joined together by our hardship and our worry. We understand one another. We look out for each other. We try to help each other. But he said, but that's now when we're all here. You know why we're united? Because we're tzebrachin, quote. We're shattered by grief. What happens when we leave the hospital? It will all be forgotten. That's the nature of life. So please, dear brothers, let us be makabel to hold on to the achdus, even when we're not here anymore. Quote, Har Sinai, says Rabbi Bender, teaches us the potential for unity. But specifically, that Am Yisrael can be connected and close, even when things are good. It is true on a tzibur level, says Rabbi Bender. We must be connected as a tzibur when things are good. And it is true on a personal level. Listen to this next line. The Welt, the world, the Welt says over that to feel pain when your friend is suffering means you are a mensch. But to feel simcha when your friend is successful takes a malach. I'm going to repeat it. The Welt says, to feel pain when your friend is suffering means you're a mensch. But to feel simcha when your friend is successful, that takes a malach. And it's such a powerful lesson. You know, when you look at the world and say, I don't know, am I the only one who feels like this? The whole world is storming. It's very difficult to see the matzav of the world. The war in the Ukraine, gun violence in the United States, terror attacks in Israel, wheat shortages, baby formula shortages, the prices of gas. We don't have to wait for crises to say Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. There was no crisis by Matan Torah. That's the godless of Klal Yisrael, and that's the godless of Rashi. Dafka there, he says, I want to tell you something. It's not just that we know how to unite. That's not a chiddush. Everybody knows Klal Yisrael knows how to unite. We always say, Mikam Chesho Goyach HaBaretz. When someone's in need, we're all brothers. Sometimes when times are quiet, that is unfortunately when we forget who our brothers are. I want to quote from Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav. I'm quoting from the Sefer Abraham's Journey. That's actually Shavuos Maisa. I'm regarding his great-grandfather, the Beis Halevi, and namesake, Rav Yashaber Salvechik Mibrisk. Okay. So Rav Yashaber was the father of Rav Chaim Brisker, was the father of Rav Moshe and the Griz, Rav Yitzchak Zev, the Brisker Rav, and Rav Moshe was the father of Rav Salvechik. Rav Salvechik was named Rav Yosef Dov after his great-grandfather, Rav Yashaber, the Beis Halevi. Let me share a recent example, says Rav Salvechik. A story is told about Rav Yashaber of Brisk, that one Erev Shavuos, late in the afternoon, on his way to synagogue, he noticed a flower stand that was still open. Okay, so Rav Yashaber is in Brisk, and he's going to shul, and there's someone running a flower shop. He went over to the woman, and he said to her, my dear, it is late. We will usher in the Yom Tov pretty soon. Why don't you go home to your family? The woman answered Rav Yashaber, and she said, yes, Rabbi, but I have not sold any flowers. The count sent in a wagon loaded with flowers, and everyone brought greenery from the count. In fact, his branches and flowers were much better than my branches and flowers. What should I do, Rabbi? I haven't sold any flowers. I have nothing in my house, no food, no wine, no candles. I have nothing to look forward to. Rav Yashar Ber told the woman to step aside. The Gadol. He took her place, and he began to announce aloud how beautiful the flowers were, how tender and green the twigs and the leaves. We all know that we decorate the homes. I was just working on a shiur this evening earlier about different customs of Shavuos and different reasons why we have greenery and why we have chalavi. So he began to announce how beautiful the flowers were, how tender and green the twigs and the leaves. I'll give you a sneak preview. I learned this year. It was so cool. I never knew this before. I thought it was so interesting. No, I don't want to tell you. Just joking. Sorry. It's too long. I don't have the time. I really do want to tell you, but I don't think I have the time. But that's not nice. I said, I'll tell you. And I didn't say bli neder. I'm going to try and do fast. Moshe was born 3 months early. Okay, got at the beginning of Perek Beis of Sefer Shemos. Perek Beis, Psukim, Aleph, through Yod are the narrative of Moshe's birth. Well, his parents' marriage, conception, birth, floating down the river, naming him baby Moshe. Okay. So he was born 3 months early. And after, Vatis Bineo Shalosha Yerachim, V'lo Yach Le'oratz Bineo, she can't hide him anymore. So she makes a little Tevis Gome, and she puts him Basuf. One of the reasons that we have greenery on Shavuos is to remember that Moshe was hidden in the bulrushes, the reeds. I saw this on Chabad. Okay, I'm big of other sources. I don't remember the source. It's not in front of me. I was not planning to say this over, but I'm talking about the Beis HaLevi selling flowers. So she hid him in the bulrushes, in the reeds, besides the Nile River, to remember the reeds that saved Moshe and his little Teva. Moshe, who ultimately would grow up to bring us the Torah, we have flowers and greenery on Shavuos. Did you know that reason? Did anyone know that? I never knew that before. It's a couple of weeks ago when I was preparing a class with someone, I came across it. I thought it was so interesting. But it gets even cooler. Moshe was born in Zion Adar, 3 months early. So his real due date was when? Zion Adar to Zion Nisan Iyar Sivan. Zion Sivan. Now there's a machlokas in the Gemara, and I was just listening to Rabbi Zev Left talk about Eisen to the Shem Shir yesterday and today, because Chazar is always important. And the real date of Matan Torah, which is a Shir in and of itself, is Zion Sivan. So why do we celebrate on Vav Sivan? I'm not giving you over his Shir that I listened to twice. Why do we celebrate on Vav Sivan? That's a different kasha. But the real date, the Chachamim agree, of Matan Torah is actually Zion Sivan. So you know how cool this is? Moshe was born Zion Adar. But he was born 3 months early. So really, he was meant to be born when? Zion Sivan. What's Zion Sivan? The day of actually the Aseret HaDibros and the great revelation on Sinai. And that's the day his mother put him into the bulrushes and put him into the reeds after 3 months. That's what the pasuk says, Beferish, she can't hide him anymore. To remember that Moshe was put into the reeds that saved him on Zion Sivan when he was put there, which is his real due date, which is also the date in the future when you bring the Torah to Klal Yisrael, we decorate our homes with greenery. Think about that when you buy your flowers for Chag. But I'm going back to the Beis HaLevi. Rav Yashar Ber told the woman to step aside. He took her place. He began to announce aloud how beautiful the flowers were, how tender and green the twigs and the leaves. People suddenly encountered a strange scene. The world-renowned rabbi in his festive garments is zealously selling flowers and charging exorbitant prices. Of course, all the flowers were sold quickly, despite the prohibitive prices. Says the Rav, and it's about his great-grandfather, whether the story is true or untrue, the fact that such a folk story is told is indicative of the demands the Jew makes upon his own conscience as regards to Kedusha. The Jew must demand of himself to live up to the mantra of Atem Tiuli Mamlechas Kohanim Vigoy Kadosh. Don't be a people of Segula. Be an Am Segula. Torah, you have to toil. You have to work. You have to be Amel. Kos, Chos, Koshos. But if you stick with it, Yarav Lechem Mikan Ve'elech, the Jew makes demands upon his own conscience in regards to Kedusha. In other words, says the Rav, to help someone in distress, you must sacrifice not only your money, you must sacrifice your dignity, you must sacrifice your pride. This is the conception of Kedusha. To help others, says the Rav, is not only an ethical act, but also a great experience through which one comes one or two steps closer to the Almighty. Serving one's fellow man is the most sublime service to God. So I know you could, please don't email me and tell me this. Michal, your final story doesn't really reiterate your point, because your whole point is that we have to have achdus when we're not in crisis, and clearly this lady was in crisis, so Rav Yasha Ber stepped in to help her. I know. But it still shows care and concern for a fellow Jew. It's still a story of the Rav. It's still a lesson from the great Beis HaLevi, and it's related to Shavuos. So I thought it was a very appropriate end. And we learned a lot. Kolos chalos kashos, am segula, shalos ani nachri, what it means to have true achdos. It's very nice to have achdos when we're in crisis. And I'm not saying we should have achdos. But we shouldn't wait till we're in crisis. Because when does Rashi tell you, kish echad b'leiv echad? Not when Yaakov's family banded together because Esau's running after them. When does he tell it to us? Not when the taskmasters are whipping them. Not when they're crying. Not when their babies are in the river. Not when Paro is shechting Jewish babies and bleeding in their blood. Shmos 2:23. Rashi, no! It's calm, it's wonderful, there's no crisis. You know what Rashi says? You know what the godlessness of Am Yisrael here? There was no problem. And they still loved each other. Of salvation, and I'll conclude with this. The covenantal community's job is to teach. We have a covenantal community. We're a community of bris, covenant. We teach not by word, but by deed. We teach by deed. We teach our children. We teach our students how we feel about our fellow Jew by deed. There were not two commitments on the part of Avram. There was one commitment, to enlighten mankind, to bring about its redemption through the acceptance of God's kingdom. Yet in order to teach, one must adopt an exalted lifestyle. One must practice Kedusha at the highest level. For even the most insensitive and cruel will be defeated by Kedusha. The fascination with Kedusha is invincible. The power of Kedusha is irresistible. V'atem shema tishmu b'koli, ushmartim es brisi, v'yisem li segula mikol ha'amim, v'atem tiyuli mamleches kohanim v'goy, Kadosh, Kili Kol Ha'aretz. I thank you so much for joining. I thank Tammy for running the waiting room. Thank Rabbi Shabtai for inviting me to speak. I wish you an elevated, uplifting, and wonderful Zman Matir and Torah Seir. Halavai, the Ribbono Shel Olam should give us the kochos to apply these lessons to our everyday life. Thank you so much for joining. Have a wonderful Yom Tov. Thank you so much. Kol Tov.